This is University Radio Nottingham.
Hello and welcome to Nerd of Mouth, the new show discussing all of nerd culture, any different nerd fandoms you can think of. We're joined today by myself, Philippa Stazica. I use she, her pronouns. And this week I've been playing Surviving Mars, which has been free on Epic Games, and it has been very good.
Hello, I'm Ibtisam. My pronouns are he and him. My kind of nerdy thing for this week is I finished reading The Wicked and the Divine, the final volumes out, and it's heartbreaking because it's been building up for 5 years and it was perfect as an ending, but I didn't want it to end. But it's brilliant, so people should go check it out.
Hi, my name is Athena. I use she, her, and my nerdy thing of this week has been PC Building Simulator. I have recently bought it on Steam and it has consumed way too many hours. My last few nights when I should be working on my master's project.
Fair, very fair. So today, the aim of Nerd of Mouth is basically bringing you some interesting discussions about nerd culture. So we thought we'd crack on with our first episode, talking about two incidences recently in the news. The first of which is about comics. So I'm going to pass over to Ibtisam to tell us all about it as our comic expert.
I love that title. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to add this to my business cards. In Rio de Janeiro, Mayor Marcelo Crivella, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, it's giving him more respect than he gave us, but he, who's a former evangelical bishop, has decided that the picture of two young teenage boys kissing in a comic book is the height of immorality and the height of social destruction. And during the International Book Fair that was being held in Rio de Janeiro, and this was a few weeks ago, he decided to ban the sale of the book in question, which was The Young Avengers, The Children's Crusade. Absolutely fabulous book. If you haven't read it, you totally should. And I think the really fantastic thing as a response to that is the backlash from the general progressive center and center left, with Brazil's biggest newspaper actually printing the panel of the two characters kissing, the characters in question being Wiccan and Hulkling, a pair of superpowered young teenage boys, and they the image of them kissing was printed on the very front page of the newspaper, and the book actually ended up selling out, which I think is just absolutely fantastic. Later on, the Supreme Court ruled that trying to ban a book for such reasons is illegal and it was unconstitutional, which is obviously great to hear, and it's really good to know that in this particular instance, the judiciary was able to back it up. But it is really frustrating that even in a country where it is absolutely legal to be gay, obviously social stigma is massive in many parts of the world where it is legal, so I'm not even going to get into that. But even in a country where being gay is legal, that such a decision could even be made in the first place. And while, I mean, personally, I'm really grateful that the response to it has been great, it's slightly worrying that even in 2019, these kinds of blatant attempts at censorship can still take place.
I totally agree with what you said regarding the censorship and how it's fearful that someone in power can simply decide what sort of media that we can consume. You know, you look at other countries like China and Germany who have done very similar things in terms of history. With Germany, they've outlawed certain symbols and certain games aren't able to be played there because of those symbols. But China kind of takes it to a whole nother level. And we'll talk about this later within Blizzard. But in terms of this idea of choosing what people can consume and what they can't consume, a game called Hearts of Iron, which is made by Paradox, it was banned in China because they claimed it was a distorted view of World War II, even though it's a very historically accurate game in most parts. So I found that interesting that there's plenty of countries that are doing this, and Rio is just kind of a new addition to a very long list already. And one thing I want to talk about with Rio in particular is that I was reading a lot of different things about people saying that Marvel is kind of trying to be progressive or trying to be, you know, appeal to the LGBT community and stuff like that. But the first gay kiss in a Marvel comic was back in 1991. And the first gay relationships that were ever depicted in Marvel was back in 1985 in a Captain America comic. So it's not anything new. And these are normal people who just happen to be LGBT. And the fact that the government wants to censor this when we really need that representation in our media is frightening.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's kind of interesting as well that, like, I tried to have a look. I couldn't really see, obviously this is my own research, but I couldn't really see any examples of straight couples being censored in the same way. So it obviously is, like, directly to do with LGBTQ couples. And I also thought it was particularly interesting that the mayor tried to use a statute that actually explicitly is saying the opposite of what he was trying to do. So he's tried to say that his ban was based on the statute that said, you know, you shouldn't show inappropriate scenes to children and adolescents. But in the same statute, it actually says that depictions of same-sex couples kissing doesn't qualify as inappropriate. So that went down well, obviously. And then I really liked also then a backlash against him. There was a YouTuber who then said he was going to buy loads of books and give them out for free in back packaging with the warning that they were inappropriate for outdated, backward and prejudiced people instead of inappropriate for children. So I thought that was quite clever.
I think the point about it being Marvel is actually quite significant as well. And obviously the history of it is fascinating. And for anyone who's interested, also go and Google the Comics Code Authority, because they used to actually ban certain types of relationships from being depicted. So the fact that Marvel now has many more openly LGBTQ plus characters, openly POC characters, in some cases openly disabled characters, is partially to do with the revocation of the Comics Code Authority. So do check that out. But I also worry a little bit that had this been done towards an independent comic book or a local comic book that didn't have ties to a massive industry and a massive conglomerate that is kind of taking over the media world anyway, whether the same kind of backlash would have happened. So of course, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm thrilled that this particular backlash has happened. And having read The Young Avengers, which is an extremely important look at teenage bullying, dealing with sexuality in kind of the day and age where it is okay to be gay, but still kind of looking at the social stigma behind that, it's a fantastic book. And the couple in question deal with a lot of really interesting things as well, because they're both, technically speaking, because one of them is an alien and one of them has Romani heritage, they also deal with aspects of being LGBTQ and immigrants in the USA. So it's a fantastic book. But then it's always, you know, if it wasn't Marvel, would we have had this backlash? And that also scares me a little bit, because I know of many countries, my own included, in Bangladesh, where there are attempts at censoring these kinds of comic books. No one's talking about them because they're independent publishers working in really kind of obscure markets. So I hope that that's something that people bear in mind as well. You shouldn't just support the big names, you should support the cause.
Do you think then, question for both of you, that perhaps then people are jumping on it as a bandwagon because it's Marvel, as opposed to it necessarily it being about LGBTQ rights in some cases? Or do you think maybe would it lessen the impact if it was with someone else, or increase the impact? Like, what's your opinion on that?
I think the actual response to it from the individuals and like the buyers, the YouTubers, the newspapers, I don't think that is necessarily tied in with the fact that it's Marvel, but I don't think it would have had as much media coverage outside of Brazil if it also didn't involve an internationally renowned company. And the only reason I say that is because I know of cases where local LGBTQ comics are being censored almost on a daily basis in certain parts of the world, and no one's batting an eyelid. I think the positive way to look at this is clearly people do care, and you should use that to then focus on the other instances rather than, oh, look how wonderful we've done with this, our job's done. Like, no, it's... for anyone who's an ally listening to this, for anyone who wants to kind of support this cause, you know, keep this momentum going. That would be amazing.
Okay, so definitely, I agree, like, we should definitely be aware of, you know, cases of censorship like this, which brings us on to the other pretty major censorship issue that's going on at the moment, which is with Blizzard. So if anyone's not been keeping up, there's been some pretty major protests in Hong Kong about whether, I think one of the main issues is, should Hong Kong citizens be able to be extradited to mainland China? And so there's lots of people protesting in the streets. There's a big backlash against them protesting. And in all the midst of this, Blizzard, who do games such as like World of Warcraft, Overwatch and Hearthstone, have got embroiled at one of their big tournaments, the Hearthstone Grandmasters tournament. Hearthstone's a card, an online card game, if anyone isn't sure. They had a player who goes by the name of Blitzchung, and he said, "Liberate Hong Kong, the revolution of our time," and he wore a mask that's now being associated with protesters. And after that, the company announced that he'd been banned from the tournament. He'd also been banned for a year for playing, and he also forfeited his prize money, which was at that moment about $4,000. And then in response, there was a lot of upset from players. Twitter started a hashtag saying boycott Blizzard. Mark Kern, who was one of the lead team makers of World of Warcraft, cancelled his subscription to his own game. So there's a lot of backlash. Then very recently, the Hearthstone Collegiate Champs match, their losing team held up a sign saying "Free Hong Kong, boycott Blizzard," and their players were banned for 6 months. So it's kind of an ongoing issue at the moment. Some reports have said that the president of Blizzard has now said that the penalties were not appropriate and will be reduced, but not actually gotten rid of. Do we have any thoughts, you know, our initial thoughts on what's going on with Blizzard? Is Blizzard, you know, getting lost in the snow?
I play quite a lot of Blizzard games, so I think I'm kind of very tuned into what's going on here at the moment, and kind of add to what you stated before, that ban on Blitzchung has now been reduced to 6 months, and his prize money has been returned to him. Blizzard arguing that the infringement on the rules was within the interview and not within the tournament, and therefore he was entitled to his prize money. For the College Hearthstone players, it was an argument of what they said it was sportsmanship, and whether then that they were had a bad sportsmanship in bringing such a quote on a political thing to these games. Both bans, another thing to add to this, is that both bans were several days after the incident themselves, and the players had received emails regarding their decision from Blizzard. Philip had mentioned J. Allen Brack, who is the CEO of Blizzard, and he said that the views that were expressed within the protests were not factored into the decision, but rather that it was, quote, a political decision. They've also stated that their relationship with China had no influence on the decision. But it is very telling when these two very similar incidents have happened and they instantly have banned their players. Now, the community has definitely responded in a strong manner. You can see within a lot of games such as Hearthstone, Overwatch, World of Warcraft, plenty of messages saying "Free Hong Kong." You've also seen dips in subscriber counts. Overwatch was due to be released on Nintendo very soon, and then Nintendo Switch very soon, and a lot of those pre-orders have now been canceled. Nintendo is allowing people to cancel their orders if they feel that they do not want to purchase from Blizzard anymore. And the launch event in New York City has now been canceled with fears of protest. Blizzard is kind of in cleanup duty at this point. They're definitely worrying about their image and more than likely worried about this overshadowing BlizzCon. And BlizzCon's coming up in a few weeks, and this is, for those who don't know, their big convention where they will show their new games, the new expansions, and there have been discords made for protests being planned for BlizzCon. So I think a lot of Blizzard's response at the moment is to just kind of swipe it on the rug and say, okay, we messed up. You know, not focus on our next big games. But yeah, that's probably the best information I can give you for the moment.
So when I was looking at this, one of the questions that kind of came to me was, one of the things they mentioned was that, you know, they felt that they were distracting from, you know, discussion around the game by talking about politics. Do you think, when you're playing games and things, Do you think there is a place for politics in games like this, or you know, should we be allowed to just, you know, play the game and ignore what's going on out in the big wide world when it's something that actually does, you know, is affecting the company and it's affecting the game?
I think the reason that it's affected the company so much is because of the reaction that they took. Was this to stay in their broadcast and they did nothing about it, it could have spurred different reactions to it. And I don't totally disagree with the decision made by Blizzard. If you want to focus your games on these various different topics and stuff like that. That said, there has been about a lot of backlash at Blizzard, typically from the right side of politics, the right spectrum of politics, I should not say that, that a couple months ago they did a Pride event for Overwatch, and a lot of these people are now saying that that was political and now Blizzard's being hypocritical. But I think the discussion comes down to whether something is political or not. And I think when it comes to human rights, both LGBT and democratic, I don't think that that needs to be in question. But these companies have a big decision to make at the moment. And Blizzard is, again, not the first in this situation. Plenty of companies from Western countries such as the US and the UK have been kind of bowing down to China and changing their various products and changing their games to suit the Chinese market. This can be seen with Nike, the NBA, there's a whole list, I won't go into it, but specifically thinking about video games in particular, there's two companies I want to talk about. There is Epic Games and there is Riot. Now Riot recently had a League of Legends tournament where the casters were forbidden to say Hong Kong on the radio. Now Riot has recently come out and said that this was not true. They were allowed to say Hong Kong, but every time that the team from Hong Kong was mentioned, they would say HKA, which would reference the team instead of Hong Kong itself. Now they have claimed that this is not a censorship, but a lot of people were finding that when they would try to type Hong Kong in the chat and these chats on Twitch and stuff like that, they were automatically censored. So very interesting with that. Now Epic Games on the other side has come out and said that they will never censor political discussion in their games and in Fortnite or any of games. They protect the creativity of their players. But I think that gets dangerous. I think if you start allowing certain political ideas, not necessarily this one, but if you give this people ideas that they can use video games as a platform to promote their ideas, what are we going to start seeing next? Is it going to be people using this to promote racism, homophobia? Should we be worried about that? And like you said, are these games meant to be just games or not? And I don't know the answer to that.
I think a really interesting point to bear in mind with the question of where do we kind of stop questions of speech and what counts as free speech versus what counts as hate speech. And I mean, that's a discussion that transcends just the questions of gaming. You know, within a university setting, you'd have this question about who do we invite as speakers, et cetera, et cetera. I think a good way to think about this situation with Hong Kong is, would Blizzard have had a problem if they were talking about any other country? And if the answer is yes, we're willing to censor people criticizing Kim Jong-un, or on the flip side, we're willing to censor people who are angry about Brexit or the EU as a model of economic reform. If it's a clear blanket ban on all political discussions, you might not agree with it, but there's a level of consistency there that then takes away questions of, oh, we're targeting you because we're worried about China as a market. And admittedly, I haven't looked into this with as much detail, but I would be very surprised if that was the case. But on the flip side to that, obviously, anything that is a question of hate speech, that then becomes about oppressing, right? So I think, personally, there's a good way of kind of making that distinction of, are you saying something that is oppressive, or are you saying something that is actually quite the opposite? Are you talking about something that's about liberation, as controversial as that liberation might be? But then, of course, are you applying this equally? And I think that's the problem with what's gone on with Blizzard. And, would they have banned someone criticizing Donald Trump, for example?
And equally, you know, if then you got players popping up for the pro main, that would be equally like disruptive to everyone else playing. So one of the things they refer to their sort of terms and conditions for tournaments is that they won't let, you know, you'll be banned if you say or gesture to other participants, admins or other parties, or incite others to be abusive, insulting, mocking or disruptive. Now, I don't know if it's necessary, you know, insulting or mocking, but it certainly disrupts the game if you're bringing in elements that aren't to do with the game. So, yeah, I can, you know, on that side of it, I can kind of see if you want to make sure that no one is discussing anything and you're staying on focus, in that case, it does make sense. But yeah, at the same time, it seems interesting. I guess it's just because of the timing, and you know, they are owned by, you know, they've got stakes in China. So as you say, yeah, if it was a different country, would we feel the same way?
To kind of expand on when you say stakes in China, China is now the largest video gaming market in the world at 600 million players. And note, when we're talking about Blizzard, Blizzard is just one subsidiary of the giant Activision Blizzard network. And these decisions are made with Activision in mind and Activision Blizzard in mind. One of the biggest subsidiaries for Activision Blizzard is King, who owns Candy Crush. And mobile games are extremely popular in China. And when you have 600 million players who are willing to just, you know, they don't worry too much about microtransaction. They're more adaptive to microtransactions in China than they are in the US, based on numbers and percentages and stuff like that, or the UK for that matter. But you see a lot of these decisions and games now being made tailored towards China, and it is curious. Is this just because, oh, maybe this is just a coincidence, or maybe you're right? Should this be any other country, would they really have done the censorship that they have done here, when the majority of their player base, or the majority of the potential player base, is sitting in a country that is extremely restrictive to various things? So I don't know, but it'd be interesting to see. If I had to make a guess, I don't think they would act the same were it Brexit, were it Donald Trump, were it Kim Jong-un.
So can I ask you, Athena, a slightly more tricky question? Do you think you'll keep playing Blizzard games after this?
So a lot of players have been boycotting Blizzard. It's a big hashtag. I think it was trending on Twitter at some point. We're once very adamant Blizzard players, you know, quite not necessarily professional, but very good Overwatch players, and they played it almost religiously. For me personally, I haven't made that jump yet. I mean, I'm still wearing my World of Warcraft shirt just as we record this, and I played, you know, I raided with my guilds in WoW last week, and I'll probably do it again this weekend. Even earlier today, I was playing Hearthstone. So, should I be boycotting? Probably. But, am I going to? I don't know yet, because I enjoy the games that we're playing, and I, like I said before, I don't necessarily disagree with Blizzard's actions on this. That said, I sympathize with the people in Hong Kong, and were it something similar, talking about maybe something in the US, you know, with LGBT rights, and I was being prosecuted against something like that, would I expect other people to boycott a game if this was a similar situation? So for me, I don't expect myself to boycott it. Maybe not yet. Depending on how Blizzard reacts in the next few days will kind of be very telling for me. But because a lot of my time is dedicated to Blizzard games, it would be a very big change. Not saying I wouldn't do it, just the fact that I'm not fully on board with this idea that they were 100% in the wrong. Was the punishment too wrong? Yes. They also said that they considered a lifetime ban. That's insane. When you've got these sort of things happening, you know, that's not the right. So I don't think Blizzard acted correctly, but I don't think they're in the wrong. So I won't be boycotting Blizzard yet, but I will let you know in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, so it's a developing situation, so I guess we'll see. I suppose it's sort of like you know, other cases where when we don't necessarily know everything that's happened yet or it's still developing, you know, you can't really decide until that time.
I guess also from the perspective of just an individual in this massive cog that is geekdom and nerddom, I'm not as big a gamer, so I can't speak for that side. But I also think that sometimes it's a lot of people can sometimes forget what things like comic books or gaming or TV shows, the kind of relief and escapism that that can give us on an individual level. I mean, one of the reasons I felt so passionately, and I'm going back a little bit to our previous story, but one of the reasons I felt so passionate about the situation with the Young Avengers comic book, even though that was in Rio de Janeiro, a country that has no direct impact on me whatsoever, was simply because I remember reading the comics with Wiccan and Hulkling and feeling myself represented in ways I hadn't before. And I guess with, you know, I shouldn't even say if, I'm pretty sure as a massive capitalist corporation, Marvel is involved with several shady dealings. To put it mildly, I mean, there have been recent things that have come out about, for example, the CEO of Disney, who's obviously involved with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Does that mean I'm going to stop watching Marvel films anytime soon? Probably not. And is that an ethical breach on my part? Is something that I should probably consider, but it's also that question of how much is that then just putting the blame on individuals who are probably getting something really massively liberating out of these forms of entertainment. For me, Young Avengers isn't just an entertaining comic book, it's a way to be seen. And I think a lot of the times when we go into questions of boycotts, it's very easy to forget that the people who end up being damaged most by boycotts are the people who are probably in the most vulnerable situations, and which isn't to kind of try and compare boycotting a video game with something more tangible, like boycotting a food company, for instance. But those kind of dynamics still come into play. So what I really want to see is, as you say, how does Blizzard respond? How would Marvel have responded if it was something different? How are governments responding? I think those are the people we should almost be asking to be held accountable. Because as a long-term nerd who's been bullied for being a nerd, I'm tired of being held accountable for things that are beyond my control.
Very fair.
Just to quickly add on to that, I think you got a great point, is that for people who are consuming these games, to boycott it could be damaging. You know, if someone's, you know, dealing with depression or anxiety or, you know, being lonely, these games, these books are outlets for them. And to have to give that up could be pretty dangerous for these people. And it's those people taking the punishment when it's really the companies that have acted in the wrong here. Now, how do you punish those companies? I don't know. You had mentioned boycotting food companies, and one company that I boycott before I went plant-based is Chick-fil-A. They're really well known for donating to anti-LGBT communities, and that's a very black and white decision there. But with Blizzard, like I said before, the details aren't there, and at the same time, it's tough. And the company should be held accountable, not the individual player or consumer.
Yeah, I think just to wrap up, like, I definitely agree. Like, and also with games and comics and, you know, movies, it's not just one person who's made a game. It's not just one person who's made a comic. There's always lots of different people involved. And so when you boycott the company, you're also boycotting that person's art. So it's maybe a bit different from, yeah, if it's the company that's doing a particular problem versus consuming a product that someone has created as part of, like, nerd culture. It kind of reminds me, just real quick, about the recent stuff to do with the creator of the Skyrim music got accused of sexual harassment. And so people were saying, well, should I still play Skyrim because I will be immersed in the music that he's created while I'm playing the game? Well, there's also all these other aspects of the game that have been created not by him. So it's kind of ended up being a bit of a personal decision, I think, on everyone's part. But yeah, it'd be really interesting to see how it plays out, I think. And I think with that, we'll bring our show to an end. I hope you've all enjoyed listening to Nerd of Mouth. And we'll be here every Sunday for the foreseeable future, we hope. And with that, we'll say goodbye.